Thanks to Wollongong Mazda. You'll love the Wollongong Mazda difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Hey, welcome along to the podcast. Didn't we have a massive show today? Glenn A. Baker talking Michael Gudinski, and also our old mate Gleeso from the Jets talking Gudinski as well. Such was the impact he had on everybody.
Oh, look, he was an absolute legend. I mean, everybody within the industry, the entertainment industry in Australia, was associated or linked to Gudinski in some way or another. Mm. And everybody had great things to say about him. That's why there's been such an outpouring of you know, I suppose...
Emotion.
It
really is emotion.
Yeah,
everybody's saying they're shocked and saddened at the loss of Michael Gudinski. And, you know, Songs from the Home Front is a great example of what Michael was all about.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted those artists, you know, like the MDMAs, you know, I mean, they were one of the bands that played on there, and a lot of people are going, who are these guys? Yet he discovered them. Hilltop Hoods discovered them, got them onto gigs, got them onto bills everywhere. Huge band now across the world, and that was exactly what Gudinski did. You know, that Songs from the Home Front, if you don't have it, make sure you go and get it, because it supports artists, and that's what he was all about as well. So a couple of good chats today in this podcast, plus also your superpower. A superpower that we share in common, Damien. Oh. However, very differently, you are able to hear your children in either your left or right ear,
and
not continue that conversation with them. However, I have that great ability to be able to hear four children in only two ears and still have that same conversation. Find out, however, what I say to them in the podcast.
You know, I'm writing a song, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we do indeed, yeah. How's it going? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know very well how it's going, Damien.
Yes, I do.
You do, because we had a hot jam session last night via Zoom,
as is
the way these days. Thanks, in a weird way, to COVID, we artists are working differently now. And so first point is, I'm learning to write songs using your songwriting program that you've released online, and I've chosen the quick version because I'm a busy working mum.
1 hour. And learn how to write a song in 1 hour.
Yep. And so I've always felt like I could write a song, had the music in me. As I said about a week ago, I said, look, how hard can it be? All I'll do is I'll just open the portal to God, because at the Grammys and that, they always just go, thank you, God. You really did it. You just worked through me. I mean,
that's
I was
right.
just the vessel.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, all right, I'll open the vessel and God will come through, and he did. And it was as simple as that. And so he wrote a song through me. It's a pretty sexy song for God, I have to say.
Mm.
But I mean,
it is quite a sexy song. It's all about relationships and how treat them mean, keep them keen vibe. It's that philosophy throughout the song.
But tell us more about this Zoom session. So you had a Zoom session.
I said yesterday that I'd heard about this hot young musician in the Illawarra called Jagger Leith. And so I connected with him via Zoom last night. His dad got involved, which was a bit sad. But anyway.
I was overseeing what was going on. I stood outside of the room, but I couldn't help myself. I did have to join in at some point.
Well, actually, Jagger got you involved because he's a very beautiful child. And he goes... Oh, look, actually, Dad had a good melody going, Dad,
just
like that.
That is
and he called
Jagger.
His dad. It's very cute. But anyway, this is how we started, because the first thing I said to him on the Zoom was, what do you think of the song? And this was his answer.
Are you going to put like a chorus in there?
I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
I reckon you should have a chorus. But
okay, cool. Can we derive one from what I've already written, or should we develop another, like develop a chorus, a new one?
Well, what have you got written?
Well, only what you can see there.
Oh, it's that stuff. Yeah. I reckon. Yeah, you could start over. Have a new chorus. Yeah.
Oh wow, Jagger's
no
on to you, Michelle. He is on to you.
Takes no prisoners. Well, yeah, you got to have the chorus. What have you got? Just that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to write one. And it was about that time he went, Dad!
Get in here, I need help, Dad.
Yeah, so then Dad came in, Damien Leith, and came in and started playing a bit of the melody that Jagger said, listen, my dad's been working on a melody, it's quite good. So this is it. Sounds good, yeah?
Up tempo.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, what's that?
Sounding all right. So I was like, great, hang on. Okay, good. So then that, I was getting excited. I was thinking, hang on, I think maybe I'm finished. Great, maybe I can log off here. This is sounding really good. But then Damien had to give me some very bad news.
Ooh.
This is it.
Yeah, now, your only issue, if you were doing this sort of melody, you're going to be short on lyrics. So if you think of that, two verses are gone within a minute and you're into your chorus.
Yeah.
Your chorus will be about 20 seconds, and then you got another verse which is going to be about another 30 seconds, another chorus. So you probably need a bridge, like an actual, another section, like a middle eight of some nature.
Oh, so it's only going to be a short song, Michelle.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I must admit, initially I thought, well, it's only got, I mean, is it for TikTok? I mean, everyone just writes songs for TikTok, don't they? And they're quite short.
Well, yeah, Pink, Ava Max, some of the best nowadays are all writing 2 minute and 40 second songs. So,
well, no, goodness, no, it's very, very valid. But I mean, we were at, I think we were just scraping the 2 minute mark at that point.
That'll be an epic song, I reckon. So, how did it all end
for
up?
It. Well, there was nothing for it. We had to keep working.
Mm.
We had to keep just burning the midnight oil, and we had to keep working, didn't we, Dave? So, me, Damien, and Jagger, we kept working. This is the sound of the three of us creatives working together.
So the lyrics are pretty good. Well, there's Michelle in the background. So.
Oh my God.
No, this is epic. Oh, wow.
Now, just for the
Michelle,
record.
Michelle, I love you like a sister. I'm concerned.
No, you can't. It's just a creative process.
So, hang on. It's just a creative process. I mean, we're not even playing in time here, guys.
Yeah, well, we were all in our own zone.
Oh,
yeah. The portal was open for all of us at that time, you know. So,
yes.
Will this? You got 2 days. 2 days, and we've got this. Is this all we've got?
Ongoing.
Okay, all right. Are we going to be right by Friday?
Have faith, brother. Have faith.
Are we going to be right by Friday?
You bet.
Yes.
All right.
Come on, Jim.
Don't know. I'm slightly concerned.
Ye of little faith.
Illawarra, I reckon they're in my camp as well. We're a bit concerned about it, but Damien's going to sing this on the rooftop Friday.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Hey, Damien, you should know something about me because it may have already happened, actually, to you.
Oh, okay. Well, what is it?
I am one of those people who brings people into my family very easily. Like, not lots of people, but before you know it, you're in. Before you know it.
Like the circle of trust. Like in...
Yeah.
Meet the parents.
It's just like... Yeah, totally, totally. Like we, you know, when I moved house, into the house before this one, when I moved in there, one of the earliest days, I thought, geez, I need a few things done here. So I just got online and found a handyman, a local handyman, and he came around that afternoon. His name was Maz. And before we knew it, he was at our place for Christmas, him and his sister and his brother-in-law and their kids. Oh, and we spent Ramadan, the end of Ramadan Eid with them. My dad included, my parents, you know, who reckoned that they were opposed to certain things that Maz represented. if you get my meaning. And so I'm one of those. So, you know, you can, one minute you're my hairdresser, next minute you're my sister. I'm one of those.
That's great, though. Now, I mean, you're very caring, you're a nice person. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I'm a lover. I'm a lover. I'm one of life's lovers.
Okay.
But I realised yesterday that Jace, our dog walker, is now a member of the family.
Oh.
Now, Jace is roughly my age, sort of mid-40s. He's a local dude. He's a great guy. Jace is very handy because he's grown up in our neighbourhood and he knows everything and everyone. Anything you need in the neighbourhood, he goes, wait a minute, just hang on a minute, gets out his phone and he's found you. A plumber, an electrician, a dog washer.
Very handy.
Just is the guy to know, sounds like
it. Yeah. And anyway, he came to pick up Big Jack. Big Jacko is my dog, cattle dog. And so Jace walks Big Jack three times a week because I'm very busy. I don't have time to walk him every day. So to fill in the gaps, Jace is Big Jacko's best mate. So I was on the phone, having a bit of a meeting on the phone. I can hear Jacko going off saying, Jace is here. I'm like, oh, God, all right. It's all going on. It's all going on. I've muted the phone. You know, I'm trying to listen on the phone.
Yeah.
I jump up to open the front door. I give Jace a nod. G'day, Jace. And he goes, g'day. He knows I'm on the phone. And I go, there you go, Big Jack. Big Jack goes, great, cheers. And off they go on their walk. And I shut the front door and I realise, oh, I'm not wearing pants.
like no bottoms at all. Nothing.
In fact, that's called Porky Piggin. by the by.
Porky Piggin. Yeah.
I was wearing underpants, and I should make that very clear.
Right.
So,
thank God.
Yeah. So I wasn't full Porky Piggin. That'd be a whole other situation with Jace. But I was wearing the big undies. I want to make that very clear as well.
Yep.
And a long t-shirt.
So it was dry. Right. How long was the long t-shirt?
Was it long enough to almost be a dress?
No.
It didn't cover
the whole, not the whole undies. I would
didn't
not
cover mum.
I don't think so, but then I don't know exactly because it's not like I checked in the mirror on my way to go, ooh. Mm. But, you know, like I was just at the front door just going, oh, g'day, Jace. Yep. Thanks, yeah. Jace.
Did he scurry away quickly or did he go,
no.
See ya. Didn't lingered?
Flinch. No, just did. Nothing was different about the exchange. He said, yeah, g'day, mate. You know, g'day, Big Jack. Gave Big Jack a bit of a wrestle in the front yard. G'day, Big Jack. All right, mate, yeah. And just on his way.
Has he been around a lot recently since then? Has he been
He's walking the dog every day going, Michelle, I need to come back to walk the dog again and
nothing,
again. And
nothing has changed. And he's since invoiced and I didn't get a discount. So
jeez. All right.
You're doing something wrong. You should
I'm
go
saying,
to full Porky Piggin next time.
No undies
next
time.
Exactly.
Pig.
Full Porky Piggin next time.
Then you'll
but
get the discount.
You got to have a little tail for a Porky Piggin, don't you?
I never thought of it that way.
Isn't that how it all works?
I realised that he's in the family. Jace is obviously made it in, you know. That's when you know, I reckon.
Yep.
When somebody's sort of in the circle of trust is when you realise, oh, gosh, sorry, I'm not wearing pants. Sorry, I just realised I'm not wearing pants.
So you go around the house not wearing any pants. So
first thing I do, I'm wearing pants now because we're on Zoom.
Sure.
Yeah.
And in case, if I jump up, I don't want, you know, so every morning I do put on pants for you guys, but as soon as we knock off at 9, off come the pants.
Of course the pants, jeez.
Wow. When are we coming around, Michelle?
We haven't been invited in.
We're
not in the circle of trust just yet.
Not yet.
The Illawarra's not in there just yet. If she does stand up right now, whip off the
that's right.
The trousers.
Yeah. Don't stand up, Michelle. Stay seated. Nobody needs to see the full Porky Piggin.
Exactly. We're definitely getting there.
Yeah, it's quarter past 7.
I think telling you about the pants
is
really creeping up.
Yes. Yeah, I like it. She's preparing us.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
The Australian music industry is in shock and mourning after news broke of the death of mushroom music founder, entrepreneur and industry icon, Michael Gudinski.
Australian music industry legend Michael Gudinski has died aged 68.
Music was in Michael's blood from a young age when he would promote school dances around Melbourne while he was just a teenager.
It's just the connection that is so important.
As the dances became profitable, he left school to run them full time. Soon after, he formed Mushroom Records and went on to sign the biggest names in Australian music. Skyhooks. I'm living in the 70s. Kylie Minogue. Split Ends. Hunters and Collectors. Jimmy Barnes. Ooh, and was a huge advocate for new Aussie talent.
That tone tonight, new song's just amazing.
Ever the entrepreneur, he also formed Frontier Touring and Premier Artists, bringing international artists to Australia. Ed Sheeran, Bruce Springsteen, The Eagles, Celine Dion, Foo Fighters, Kiss, Madonna, and dozens, probably hundreds more, toured here because of Michael Gudinski.
He also worked in comedy, he toured comedians, he made movies. And the reason that there was such an outpouring of grief, and it continues for Michael yesterday and today, is because of his genuine admiration and love for artists. And I was reminded yesterday by a comedian friend of mine who toured through his Frontier company just 2 or 3 years ago for the first time, that he came to her gig, went backstage after the gig, and was just so wonderful and effusive. This is a guy who not just was intuitive about who was great and who would make him money, but he just had such passion still to his dying day for artists. And I think that is why he's so loved. Glenn O'Baker joins us. Glenn, can you speak to that, please? We know about all the bands that he broke, and we know that he brought Madonna to Australia and all of that big shiny stuff. But let's talk about the man that Michael Gudinski was and his passion for artists, whether they were huge or not famous yet. He just loved people, right?
He did indeed, and I think that he had an appreciation for music that was real and raw and honest. I mean, he actually went to, and you mentioned he would go to a gig and he would go backstage and he would speak to people, and that's what he did. I mean, because he really loved what was going on from when he was a kid, and when he would actually be a roadie for Chain, people like that, and then he would sign progressive and underground and experimental bands as well, because he just liked what they were doing and he was intrigued by their nature of them. And I think that came out with the way he managed Skyhawks. He took on Skyhawks because he thought that they were just, I don't know, they were fresh and new and outrageous. He liked the outrageous nature. I was speaking yesterday on television about how, Skyhawks, I can remember, because I was the manager of Old 55, and we had a number one triple platinum album on Mushroom, Take It Greasy, and we knocked ABBA off number one, etc., and we would tour with Skyhawks. And I can remember once they had this, if you'll forgive me for mentioning it, a giant imitation penis which would ejaculate twisties. It probably outraged parents, but I think it tickled Michael because it was so cheeky and it was so sort
it
of...
It sounds like something Michael would outrageous. Love, yes. He was an outrageous man, but he had a great sense of humour, and he loved silliness, and he loved people, but he loved artists more than anything in the world, and that was why we loved him.
You know what? I think you've got it exactly right, and it was basically, look, let's a little bit of fact and information here, which really underlines it. From the early 70s, the biggest selling album in Australia, which sold 60,000 copies, was the first Daddy Cool album, Daddy Who, Daddy Cool.
Yeah.
Skyhawks, Living in the 70s in 1974, sold a quarter of a million. All of a sudden, this tiny little independent label in Melbourne had an album that had sold this incredible figure that proved that Australian artists could actually could compete on the same level as international artists. Mm. They could actually they could sell staggering amounts of records, and that's why. So we went from there, and my band Old 55 were triple platinum, and then Split Ends came along. I think Michael understood, he could recognise great songwriters. He knew that Greg McCange was a fabulous songwriter in Skyhawks. He knew that, in fact, the Finn brothers in Split Ends were wonderful songsmiths as well. And he was prepared to give Split Ends a few albums that didn't work, to wait for them to actually define their, you know, with I Got You in 1980, they found their feet. They went on to become one of the biggest Australian bands, and you mentioned Hunters and Collectors. Well, interestingly enough, Hunters and Collectors didn't actually sell all that much at the time. However, they were so sort of unique and so much loved and had such a reputation that was fine. That was something that Michael really enjoyed. But anyway, Kylie Minogue was the complete out of the box.
Glenn, you know what? We're going to have to, Glenn, we're going to have to talk after the show. Glenn, listen, I'm so sorry, but I can hear you winding up, man. And I'm winding up too, because I could talk to you all day about Michael Gudinski. Let's do it after the show, though. I'll give you a call. We'll have a coffee. We'll have a Zoom. We'll kick back. But thank you so much, Glenn.
Well, okay. So can I just say one thing in conclusion, that he filled every position in Australian music. He did absolutely everything. Like I said, you said he made films. He published. He booked. He was just there was no area in the music industry that he didn't touch, and that's why I think he's so loved. That's why they're talking about having a state funeral for him in Melbourne, and I think that would be an extraordinary experience. But yes, it was wonderful speaking to you, and I'm sure we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good on you, Glenn. Glenn A. Baker, the Australian music rock historian.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Michael Gudinski.
He was an amazing man. He really and truly was. I mean, a lot of us in the industry have dealt with him in one way or another, or even indirectly. I did a gig for him a couple of years ago in Melbourne, and he was busy with everything else to do with this gig. It was a $1 million lunch where he was trying to raise $1 million during that lunch. And I was minuscule to what was actually going on the day, but he still came over to me. Are you all right, mate? You know, he was just a larger-than-life sort of character, very passionate about everything to do with what was going around, and in particular, entertainment. Mm. Whatever was happening in the entertainment world, he was passionate towards the entertainers, people who were involved in it. One guy who I'm sure had interactions or certainly dealt with Michael Gudinski at some point, we've got him on the phone now, Dave Gleeson, Screaming Jets, and of course frontman now for the Angels. Dave, good to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, thanks. Yeah, under terrible circumstances, as that piece was saying, it's just the shock that someone with so much life and so larger than life is gone.
Yeah, look, I mean, he had such a huge impact on the music industry, didn't he?
He really did. He was one of these guys who didn't see Australian music as the poor cousin to the international acts. He saw that there was acts here who were every bit as professional and as talented as these international acts that were coming over. And, you know, that probably led to him starting the Sunbury Festival back in the day to showcase all this great talent that we had floating around Australia, the Australian scene. It was obviously being influenced from overseas, but he was able to harness that and really took Australian music to the next level.
Yeah, and you know, when you have someone like that, they inspire the industry, don't they? Because you know, other acts are coming through, new acts coming through, and when you know there's a scene, and when you know there's somebody out there in the scene that wants to push it, wants to get behind it, it inspires you. Because I mean, music, it's a tough old business.
And his thing was, he was like involved, as you were saying. He was involved in every little bit of it. He wasn't just some bloke sitting there counting the dollars or anything like that. He was. The famous story of selling watermelons to the crowd at Sunbury. He remained involved. I was reading yesterday about how he's talking about taking a bit more of a backseat to his children who are, you know, moving into more leadership roles at the company. But he said, "I'm not. That doesn't mean I'm stopping."
Yeah.
But our first encounter as the Screaming Jets with him. There was a bidding war back in the day. Oh yeah. and It was between Ruart Records and Mushroom Festival, and Ruart won, and I'll never forget, I saw him some months later. He said, "You blokes have made the biggest mistake of your lives." And a bit of a sliding doors moment. We could have been somebody. We could have been a contender. But
you know what? He never held grudges, did he, Dave? He never held grudges, Michael.
It was all part of the thing. That's right.
Yep.
There was nothing personal. It was all business. And the great part about him, I think, that everyone loved was there was just no bullshit about him. He was like, that was him. He wasn't putting on airs and graces on for anyone. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest back act in the world. Everyone got treated the same.
That's so true.
When Bruce Springsteen made his statement yesterday and it blew everyone's minds, But that's the first thing I thought of. I thought, you know what? He treated Bruce Springsteen the same way that he treated young new bands that no one had heard of because he was just a fan. He was a fan of artists. And it was almost like I think Michael sort of wished that he could have been an artist. Like, he really genuinely admired people, don't you think, who could do that?
Yeah.
And he knew he couldn't?
Absolutely. He was a huge fan of the talent. And, you know, who knows where he could have gone with that voice of his.
You do a very good impression of Gdansky, that's for sure. Look, as you said, he's affected so many people, and Michelle has said the tributes continue to flow this morning from the likes of Bruce Springsteen, Amy Shark, Bryan Adams, Kylie and Danny Minogue, and the list goes on. Midnight Oil, Midnight Oil were touring with Frontier Touring at the moment, so he was just absolutely amazing for everyone, Gleeso, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was, and his commitment and passion to Australian music was unparalleled. And as Michelle was saying, and Damien was saying, that it wasn't just about his artist; it was about every artist. It was about he was just so excited that that Australian music over since the time he got involved, it's really become we've become players on the world stage, and that is largely due to himself. There's a few, Michael Chugg and Molly, obviously, they're all as thick as thieves, those guys, and they conspired to bring Australian music to the world.
Yeah, well, you're right,
and
mate.
And they did it.
They did a great job. They dreamed big, and they did it.
It's amazing.
Well, Gleeso, mate, we look forward to seeing you very soon. Thanks so much for the chat about Michael Gdansky, and you take care, brother.
No worries, everyone. Take care. Thank you very much for your time.
Not a drummer at all. Dave Gleeson, frontman of the Screaming Jets for such a long time, and, of course, now out and about with the Angels as well. You can still catch up on some of his Under the Tree sessions, still on our Hangout page at Wave FM's Facebook page as well.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Michelle, around Christmas time, or in the lead up to Christmas, I went and bought myself a weighing scales. And
oh, yes.
And it's one of those...
Weighing scales, everyone. He said weighing scales, not weighing scales. They'd be very different.
A weighing scales is a whole different thing. Yes, that is right. No, this is a weighing scales. And it's not only just one that weighs you, but also tells you all sorts of amazing things, like your BMI. Your BMI, body mass index, and how much muscles you have, hydration, the whole lot. And, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Mm. Got it at Kmart. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Or the home of such technology.
All the incredible stuff.
All the technology. So it's no messing around, okay? Bottom line is no messing around. Now, since then, I've been really up in my running. Okay, I've been running fanatically. I'm doing like 5Ks every second day and really getting into it. I'm, considering doing something amazing later on in the year. Weighed myself this morning because what you're meant to do is you're meant to wake up first thing in the morning, you're meant to do a wee and then weigh yourself.
Mm.
All right, that's the best time. I haven't changed. In fact, not only have I not changed, my muscle's gone down. Okay, I've got less muscles.
Down?
Yeah, it's gone down. My muscles have gone down. I'm less musclier. You wouldn't think it to look at me. My BMI has gone up. In fact, I'm now obese again, according to my... And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This is just a joke. I'm putting in the hard yards. Okay, I'm doing the work. Mm. What's going on? And it was then that I did the usual. I got on Google. I looked around. I had to do my research. Mm. Guys, tell you what, the details are not very nice. All right, get this. 3.5 3.5 kilometres to burn off a Kit Kat. 3.5 kilometres. To burn off a measly Kit. I love a Kit Kat.
Yeah, it's depressing as.
I mean, how am I supposed to survive without a Kit Kat? This is just a one, nearly 2 kilometres to burn off a Coca-Cola.
You know what's worse than that? I don't eat Kit Kats or drink Coca-Cola. What am I meant to do? That's what's worse is when someone, you say to someone, how did you lose the weight? And they go, oh, I just gave up cheese. And you go, I don't even eat cheese. What am I meant to do? Or someone goes, oh, I just stopped drinking champagne. I don't even do that. What am I meant, where do I start if I don't eat Kit Kats or drink Coke or drink champagne or eat cheese? If I've already given up or eat white bread, if I've already given up all of that, where do you start?
Well,
that's depressing.
I tell you where you start. Based on my estimations here, I did a tot up because I know this weekend I'm planning on going on the beer. And, I just thought, and I just discovered that I have to run a marathon between now and Friday night if I want to have a night out. It's a marathon. Mm. I've got to do 44 kilometers just this week to get me through the amount of beers I plan on drinking. Isn't that a bloody disgrace? That's the only solution I have for you, Michelle. Marathon between now and Friday.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Not for that idea.
Nah, just buy different scales.
Oh.
I suppose.
Oh, right.
I've got a feeling there's no way you're obese. Secondly, there's no way you can be like gaining, like losing muscle if you're running. Like that, I think your scales are bung.
Well, you know what? I used to love those old-fashioned scales. You know the ones where you move the little dial at the bottom?
Mm.
And depending on the morning you're getting, you can look down and you go, it's not calibrated, but I'm all right with that. Mm. I got a standard that said, I think maybe that's what I need. I just need an old-fashioned scales that I can reliably, you know, count on it to be off calibration just on those days when I need it most.
I've got another idea.
Also, where are you? Where is he in his cycle? We need to know that. Where are you in your... Because at least I can always say to myself, it's just probably about where I am in my cycle.
Gotcha.
In a couple of days, it'll sort itself out.
I'm just probably retaining a bit of something or other.
Just go a week on the.
Yeah, give it a week, Dulce.
Dulcolax. You'll be right. The old Dulcolax.
Oh, you reckon?
You'll be right. Get the laxatives on and you'll be right. You'll lose a stack of weight. You'll be sweet.
You know, great idea. I got a colonoscopy one time. Mm. That's when I lost the most weight.
There you go.
That'll help you right out.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney, and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.